Please come in and join us. Just give it 1 second. So what we are going to have is a demonstration by the ISC team on digital reporting, and it's led by Joseph McDonald, and I just want to compliment Joseph. He has done a great job to get this all together. Joseph is becoming an old friend of mine. Actually, we bicycled from Boston to Chicago even, so we are close. We have a new team leader there, Olivier Servet. He's just going to listen right now, showing what can be done with XBL and IFRS. Actually, Joseph has been with the ISC a couple of years now. He's the third guy with the ISCF. The original guy was from Austria, but the Austrian military took him away. The second guy, David Prather, is now doing a leading project at the FASB. I mentioned data mining, data definitions, codification. He's doing that using the same software at the FASB as we do at the ISB. With that introduction, I'm handing over to Joseph.
Thank you, Kurt. There's no chance of the New Zealand military taking me away, Kurt, because I have the ISCF XBRL team behind me. Today, we're going to do a state-of-the-art demonstration. In it, we're going to create three XBRL documents, and we're going to show you an interaction with those documents. Now, there's a rule of presentation, which is never ever do a live demonstration. Gentlemen, we're doing 13 live demonstrations, so this is a very, very risque event. For those of you that are sitting at the back, there will be a lot of detail on the screens. If you need to move forward, please feel free to do so. Gentlemen, can you hold your arms out in front of you, please? I'd like the audience to see that this is a live demonstration, and none of these gentlemen have anything up their sleeves. I'm going to introduce the team, and I'm going to start at the far right, in the physical sense only. Maciej Pichocki, Freiburg University of Technology, PhD student in MIS, also chair of the Polish Taxonomy Working Group. In front of him, Lukasz Pruszki, Darmstadt University of Technology, diploma in computer science, formerly dealing with XML projects at Fraunhofer IPSI. Next to him, a gentleman that needs no introduction. Next to him, Timo Philip, Darmstadt University of Technology, Masters of Computer Science, formerly dealing with XBRL projects at Fraunhofer IPSI. On Timo's left is Michael Pichocki, a very important member of our team, University of Economics, Poznan, Master of Economics, taxonomy editor of the Polish Taxonomy Working Group. To Timo's right, Heiko Phillips, Darmstadt University of Technology, Masters of Computer Science, formerly dealing with XBRL projects with Fraunhofer IPSI. Next to him, Holger Obst, University of Cologne, currently doing his PhD in accounting and auditing. Up the top there, Daniel Glockner, Darmstadt University of Technology, Diploma in Computer Science, formerly dealing with XML and XBRL at Fraunhofer IPSI. A very strong German contingency here, I hope you all see. So, if you'd like to look in front of you, I hope that you've all found a document that outlines what we're doing today. A very colourful document that outlines what we're doing today. We are, as I said, going to prepare XBRL instances, and we're going to interact with those instances. Just in case there's people in the audience who don't know or haven't experienced XBRL before, we're going to use several terms over and over. The first term is taxonomy. Taxonomy is the web protocol. In this case, it will be either IFRS or US, GAAP, so we're dealing with financial reports here, that we are going to map our data to. As such, a computer that interacts with that data by frame of reference to the taxonomy is going to be able to understand the components of a financial statement. That's the taxonomy. The instance is the result of the XBRL mapping that, in such that we create an XBRL data file. That's the file the computer's going to read. The other term that we'll use a lot today is extension taxonomy. If in our source data, when we come to map to the taxonomy, we can't find a component in our financial statement, we are going to create it ourselves. XBRL is the extensible business reporting language. The extensibility or the extension lies in that extension taxonomy. So, without further ado, I'm going to introduce the three companies that we'll be dealing with today. The green company, the blue company, and the red company. The first two are IFRS companies that are reporting, and the last is a US GAAP reporting entity. Maciej is going to introduce these companies and the source data that we'll be dealing with. Please note that this data is a sample for the purposes of a demonstration. It's not a full financial report. Maciej.
Thank you, Joseph. So what I'm going to do now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to show you the starting point for our demonstration, which are the spreadsheet-based financial statements. So what is the starting point? Simply financial statements. And as Joseph mentioned, we have three companies. We call them Green Co., Blue Co., and Red Co. So Green Co., you may see the balance sheet as at 31st of December 2006, we have the income statement for the Green Co. And as already mentioned, we will need extension of the IFRS taxonomy, IFRS GP taxonomy for the Green Co. The Blue Co. balance sheet, income statement in Excel, and again, IFRS-based company, with the exception that for this company, we don't need any extension, so these disclosures are based purely on the IFRS GP taxonomy. And the third company, Redco, statement of financial position, end of December 2006, together with income statement for this year. And this company is based on the US GAAP taxonomy without an extension. So to disclose the numbers in this financial statements, we don't need any extra elements. The US GAAP elements are enough here.
So Mancha, we're using, I see the data's in Excel at the moment. We're going to be using Excel as our source of the data?
Exactly, as usual, we have the data in Excel as our starting point. So to understand it, it's also important to add that it's very simplified financial statement, so just for the needs of this demonstration, we simplified much more. We restricted only to the statement of financial position or balance sheet and income statement.
Okay, thank you, Maciej. Can I now introduce you, please, to Daniel, who's going to show us the next step. And if you do have the document in front of you, it's on the inside page if you'd like to see a summary of the steps we're going through. And those steps are broken down over the next few pages. Daniel was going to introduce something that we like to do first before we go to and touch the taxonomy and start dealing with it, which is just to get an idea that we have the data points that we're expecting in the the elements in the taxonomy to map to our data. So, Daniel.
Yes, so now that Maciej has introduced these three financial statements, we are going to look at it from a taxonomy point of view, and we will use a tool which our team created. It's a web-based tool, and it's a taxonomy search engine. So I'll just open the browser window and show the tool. So here it is. It basically looks like any search engine, which are quite popular in the web right now. And what we are going to do now is we will look if we find, for example, this element of the green company, which is called property, plant, and equipment, and see if it is contained in the IFRS GP taxonomy.
So, Daniel, I'm going to interrupt you there. This is available on the ISB website, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a search engine that's going to online search across our taxonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Soon an online search, right. So now I'm pasting this name here and just using the name from the financial statement. And I'll add the quotation marks to get an exact hit. So now, as we can see, it found 120 elements, but I'm looking for a special one. And there it is. It is property, plant, and equipment net. And now I can click on the icon and I can inspect the element. And I can, for example, see that it has period type instance and that it has balanced debit, yeah, and so on. But the basic information which I wanted to have now is it is contained in our taxonomy, and so we can use it later on.
So, Daniel, I know that there's a thing called the reference link base that works inside a taxonomy, and that the authoritative literature of the IASB, being IFRS and IAS, is recorded there. Can you show us a little bit more about that and how this tool interacts with that?
Yes, by clicking on that reference button here, I can see which references are used by this element, and I see that it has got two. And for example, the first is IAS 1 paragraph 68, and if I now click on that icon, I can get live from the database the text from the standard.
So the text of the standard is not in our taxonomy itself, it's somewhere else, is that right?
That's right. It's an XML database, actually.
So this tool is on the ISB website. It's interacting with the taxonomy, and it's interacting with a separate database which has our standards in it.
Yeah, so to go on with this, as we know, Green Company uses an IFRS extension. So now let's look for this element, which is called investment in related parties. And let's see if we can find this in our taxonomy. So let's get rid of this. Paste a new name. And as we can see, we get zero hits because this element is not contained in IFRS GP. And this is basically what motivates this extension of the taxonomy, which will be done in one of the next steps.
Daniel, you've got no hits, but can you just, is there another type of search you can do just to prove that we really haven't got that
yes.
term or set of terms in there?
We can, for example, remove those quotation marks, and now we are searching for each of the search terms. And we see we get hits, but none of them contains all of the words. So there's, for example, like related parties, but there's no investment in this concept, and we can basically say there is no such concept in IFRS GP, and we need to create it.
Thanks a lot, Daniel. I think, as everyone can see, that's quite a useful tool before we even start working with our taxonomy, just to check what's there. I'm going to call Heiko up to the lectern now, who's going to show us the next step in this instance creation. I'm just going to. He's going to show us the next step in this, which is we need to get our hands on the taxonomy, and more particularly on certain parts of the taxonomy. So, Heiko, how do you suggest we do that?
Yeah, therefore we use our ITMM. It's available on the website.
Heiko, what does ITMM stand for?
ITMM means IFRS GP Taxonomy Modules Manager, and it selects me the part from the taxonomy which I really want to use. The IFRS GP is modeled in that way that we have different balance sheets, as you might know. To do so, I will start the process.
And Heiko, okay, we're going to grab the taxonomy and use it to create the instance document for Green Company, is that right? GreenCo.
Yeah, we are now creating the Green Company taxonomy. So, therefore, I create a shell schema, a so-called shell schema, which selects me the different parts from the IFRS GP taxonomy. Once you create a schema file, I have to input a unique name, an identifier. So, because we have a green company, I call it Green CO. Go to the next step, I use relative parts. And I want to have the German label link base as well as the English one in it. And on this page, you are able to select the modules which you want to use. In our case, we want to create the balance sheet and the income statement by function. As you might see, we want to have the presentation hierarchy as well as the calculation hierarchy. So now I've clicked to finish, and here we go. Now we have the shell schema.
Okay, Heiko, can I stop you there? Just while you're saving that, and we're going to reuse that a little bit later, you mentioned a term shell schema. What's that exactly?
A shell schema means basically that I select every part from the taxonomy which I want to use in the extension. just selects me everything I want to have.
Okay, so you've saved the file.
So I've saved the file and now I'm finished and yeah.
Okay, thank you, Heiko. Maciej is now going to perform the next step. Now that we have a taxonomy and we've selected the parts of the taxonomy specifically that we want, a particular type of balance sheet, particular type of income statement, a taxonomy extension.
Exactly. So what I'm going to do, I will start a taxonomy editor. As you already noticed, the green co has a missing element, which Daniel indicated is the investment in related parties. So what does it mean? We have to add this element for the green company. What I am doing, I'm creating a new taxonomy, which will be the official taxonomy for the green company. What I have to do is to import the shell taxonomy, shell schema that Heiko prepared, where there's the balance sheet and income statement by function that we need. So what I will do, I will import this file that Heiko prepared a second ago. It is the GreenCo XSD.
And you're using the term import quite a bit. What do you mean by that?
So I need the elements from the IFRSGP taxonomy. So I'm not going to create all the bunch of elements for the balance sheet and income statement. I'm going to use the elements that exist in the IFRSGP taxonomy, but only the one from balance sheet and income statement. That was the point that Heiko indicated. So the taxonomy appeared in the German language. I'll just switch quickly to English. And first I will just save this file. I will make the identifier green co. And the namespace prefix as well as the file name.
What's the namespace prefix or the target namespace?
It's the identifier in order to distinguish between the original IFRS elements and the elements created especially for the GreenCo company as the investment in related parties will be. Okay, now let's save it. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see the presentation. Hierarchy of the balance sheet is the classified way of presenting the balance sheet popular in Europe. You can see assets non-current, and there is really element in investment in subsidiaries, investment in associates, investment in joint ventures, but there is really no element for the investment in related parties as total. So what I have to do is to create such an element. I will add it.
So investment in related parties is the element that we were looking for. We saw the fact value for that in the Excel spreadsheet, and it's not in the IFRS taxonomy. So what is it you're doing, Maciej?
So I'm adding exactly this element. I will edit this as debit character, and I will add two labels for this element. I will add the proper English label.
And presumably some German as well.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. So let's make this English, and let's add Anteile an verbundenen Unternehmen, so we will have the German language. Which we mark as German.
That's pretty good German for a guy from Poland.
Thank you. Yeah. So what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, we have to add this element in the presentation hierarchy because, as you may see, it's not here. So I would add this element as a sub-element of assets non-current with drag and drop. I would put a bit higher so you'll just see it a bit nicer way. And I will make the elements investment in subsidiaries, investment in associates, as well as investment in joint ventures, as sub-elements of the elements investment in related parties to have the proper structure. What I will do as well, I will update the calculation hierarchy. So I'll go again to the assets total, assets non-current total, and again I will add this element for the assets non-current total, move it a bit higher, and I will make investment in subsidiaries, investment in associates, investment in joint ventures as the sub-elements of the element investment in related parties. So right now we have the full structure. We can save the taxonomy extension, and I will close the taxonomy.
And we'll use that again later.
Exactly.
Thanks, Maciej. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the longest step we're going to show you. It is extending the taxonomy has a few little nuances, as you saw, but Maciej has created there for us an extension to the IFRS taxonomy, which we're now going to use. But before we use it, I've invited Michael, who I hope is still speaking to me after the introduction, to come and do a check on the work that Maciej's done. Now, the thing that I've got to tell you here is that Michael is Maciej's brother. So he's very, very, very determined to find an error in Maciej's work. We're going to perform two levels of validation. Michael's going to do the first, a visual check to see that Maciej's done what he's supposed to have.
Thank you, Joseph. As Joseph indicated, we'll check Maciej's work. Actually, I'm pretty afraid that he might have done a mistake because he's got a coming wedding this week. He's getting married on Friday, so let's take a look if he really did a good job. What we will do, we'll use a different taxonomy editor. Let's assume that I'm taking a role right now of a taxonomy reviewer. It is a common practice in XBRL to do a peer review of taxonomies when we are sending a taxonomy to different domain experts, various domains experts around the world. IFSGP taxonomy is also being reviewed. So let's assume that I'm a taxonomy expert from different country. I'm using a different editor. Let's open right now the extension that Maciej created. It is a Greenco extension, as you know. The tool already recognized the DTS, so the discoverable taxonomy set over here, and right now we can start to process this taxonomy.
Okay, technical term, discoverable taxonomy set. What do you mean?
Discoverable taxonomy set is the set of all taxonomies that are actually in the structure which we use. In this extension, we are using first the IFRSGP taxonomy as a base, and also the extension, the Greenco extension, which Maciej created before. So right now...
Yep. And presumably that's the green bit I'm looking at.
Yeah, that's the green one.
Okay. So the IFRSGP is the black, or red, whatever.
Now, what we can do, we can see that the elements colored in the elements list are purple, but there is one element which was created as an extended one. It is the Greenco, actually investments in related parties. So we see that really, yeah, Maciej did a good job. The element is there. We can see the elements characteristics, and also we can see it in the presentation link base. We can as well see the crossed items, which are prohibited by Maciej. These are the relationships prohibited by Maciej before. We can also check one more thing, which is the calculation link base. I'm doing a due, if you see.
What is it that you're checking now?
Right now I'm checking if Maciej really did the calculations properly. So if he really prohibited the relationships in the calculation link base. And yes, we can see the calculation link base is also properly prepared.
So there's some things, you did talk about it, but can we talk about it again? There's some things there that are crossed out. You said that those are prohibited. What's that all about? Why don't we just get rid of them?
Well, we don't get rid of them because we don't want to change the code of the IFSGP taxonomy. That's the typical extension mechanism of XBRL.
I wouldn't mind betting you can't change the code of the IFSGP. Is that right?
Yeah, well, actually, you cannot change.
Okay.
That's true. That's why you are importing the whole taxonomy, and that's why we imported the schema which introduced those presentation and calculation link bases chosen by Heiko. So right now, we see that the taxonomy is ready for creation of instances.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Excellent presentation. Daniel's going to come back, and he's going to perform the second validation that we're going to perform on Maciej's work. You've just seen a visual check inside a tool. Now we're going to actually use a tool that's going to go away and do some checks itself. So what have we got, Daniel?
Yes, so after that visual check, which Michael just performed, we'll now take a look at the taxonomy and see if it conforms to the XBRL specification. And for that, we use a small tool as a validator. I'm just loading this. And this tool basically checks the whole XBRL specification when we give him it a taxonomy, and afterwards we are sure that it is it conforms to the XBRL specification. So now I loaded that taxonomy, and I only have to click on validate, and the tool will validate the taxonomy, which takes quite a while.
And why does it take quite a while, Daniel?
Well, the taxonomy consists of roughly 20 files, and so this is quite takes some time.
It's just checking absolutely everything against that specification.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah. How did we do?
Yeah, as we can see here, the validation result is okay. And below we get a list of all the files which have been processed, and all of them are XBRL valid. So Machi obviously created a valid extension, and we can use it to file instances.
Okay.
Congratulations.
1-0 to Machi in this case. Thank you, Daniel. So we've created an extension taxonomy for the green company. Our next step now is to get the data and map it together with that taxonomy and produce this XBRL data document that we call an instance. We're going to start with Green Company, and Lucas is going to show us one process for creating an instance document. We're then going to assume that we've already created the taxonomies for the blue and red companies, and we're going to show you different or alternative methods for creating instances for those companies. So, Lucas.
Well, now we have the data in the Excel sheet and we have a valid taxonomy. So what I have to do now is to map the data to the taxonomy, and that's what I will do. I will open the spreadsheet for the GreenCo. As you can see, nearly all elements are already mapped, as they are marked as colored, but I left two, because it would just take too much time to speed up the process. I just left two elements, which are assets, non-current assets total.
So this is kind of like a cooking show where you've already cooked most of the thing. You're just showing us the last little bit.
Okay. Yep. Because,
perhaps cooking was the wrong choice of terms.
Okay, so I go to assets and current, and as you can see, I will just mark these two cells and take assets and current. Furthermore, I will have to change the contextual data, which is, for example, the time period, which is instant in this case, as it is a balance sheet.
Okay.
So we'll take...
Lucas, I'm just going to interrupt you there.
Yes.
We've already seen you map the taxonomy into this data that's sitting in the Excel spreadsheet. Now you're mapping some other things. What's this context stuff?
Context is, because only the value is not enough to really determine the data itself, so we have to set a time period or a date, a point in time, which is instant or duration, and I will have to set a currency, for example. This is
now,
contextual data.
Presumably this instance and duration thing that you're talking about is because a balance sheet is at a point in time.
Yes.
That's an instance, and a duration, something from the P&L, is across a period of time. Is that right?
That's right. So we'll have to do the euro. That's pretty much all. Now I can create the XBRL instance and save it. I have to set a unique ID, which I just call
a unique ID.
Yes, to keep it unique. So it is a unique instance, not to just take the wrong one later on for the later steps.
Okay, so a unique ID meaning a unique identifier, so we can identify this later.
Right.
Okay.
And I will have to set also the scheme, which is pretty much the same. Yeah, that's all.
And presumably this is now saving.
Yeah,
saving
it takes some time because it's now mapping the data to the taxonomy.
Okay.
Okay, I can call it greenco.xbrl. And that's it.
So we've created our first instance, and we're going to be able to use that a bit later,
mm-hmm.
Using one method. Thank you, Lucas. And our aim now is to produce the second instance, which is for the blue company, and Holger is going to produce that for us. Holger, I believe you're going to use a tool that you've built yourself, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So this tool is an application that transforms an XBRL file to a fully mapped and fully linked, as well as fully and formalled spreadsheet, and also from the spreadsheet directly back to the instance. So the application can easily implement an
in a web service, so this is just a small and very simple interface I would like to show. So now you can just select prepared instance, for example. You can just open this, and then you can say, okay.
A pre-prepared instance? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, pre-prepared, because we don't have the time to now to fill in all the information, you know, what we showed on our Excel spreadsheet, all the information for assets total and something like this. So this is already in this instance. So what I'm showing right now is how to transform this application, this instance, into a spreadsheet. So I can select, for example, if I want to have the spreadsheet in German or in English, and I can also implement some other parameters. I just choose some parameters, so just disable reference or disable calculation check. So and now you can create the spreadsheet. Unfortunately, we don't have this time to now to see how long it takes. It takes a little bit time, but I will show you at the end what we will receive for this. So we will now open the spreadsheet, what will comes out of this process.
Holger, I just noticed that you didn't open that in Excel. You opened that in OpenOffice.
Yeah, this is
an
OpenOffice, so this is not Excel, but it's OpenOffice. So now you have, for example, an overview that you can see. You have one worksheet with all the instant information. So yeah, you can find every information about the periods you are reporting, or the units you are using, or the currency you are using. And we also have some dimension information, but then we can also find the balance sheet information as well as the income statement information. So then just go shortly, then you have here, for example, equity and liabilities, where also a column where you can see, okay, for the issued capital, you see all the references we have for this element, and for the technical point, you have all the information, what is this element about.
So that's being read off the taxonomy, is it?
Yeah, exactly. It's getting the information directly from the instance, and also getting the information from our taxonomy. And also we will see the information already in there, so we see that we have now here for some elements already the number in there, and I already mentioned that it's getting all the calculation information from our taxonomy. So for example, here I have the information for 2006, and I have here a calculation value column, so to check, for example, if I'm putting here now 20,000, so the taxonomy says this will be a calculation error, so it shows me directly, so it's getting the information for calculation check directly from the taxonomy, and I'll change this back to 16,000 to make it correct, and now I just save it as a new instance, go just to the export, say okay, I want to have this as a new instance, so I will call this Bluco new. And now it's generating directly from the spreadsheet a new instance you can use further.
Okay, thank you, Holger. So that's our second instance created. We have one now for Green Company and one for the Blue Company using two different tools. Now I'm going to introduce you to a third tool set, and Michael's going to introduce that. Michael, I believe that what you're going to show us now, one of the tools you and some other members of the team created, and that's going to interact with a tool that's commercially available as well.
Yes, that's true. We had a problem of creating serialized or serial creation of instance documents. There were over 100 documents developed on the basis of one spreadsheet. So we prepared a kind of a macro which helped us prepare files required by the mapper. I'll just open this tool right now. We are creating an instance document of the Red Company, which is the US GAAP company. The tool I'm going to present you very quickly, it's a very quick macro. It allows us to choose the Excel spreadsheet on the basis of which we'll prepare those three files. So we'll use the same that were used by my colleagues before. And what we will do, we'll now start processing it. As you have seen in the background, it quickly went some processes. It is not a fake at all. It has recognized the entity, the identification code, the currency from the spreadsheet, the beginning date and starting date, and also some namespace hashes which we added for coding.
Now, right? Michael, can I interrupt you there? In one of the earlier presentations, we saw that we were mapping in the contextual information. This has gone and found it by itself. Is that what's happened here?
Yes, it is somehow already pre-mapped. We have already predefined it for the purpose of the demonstration also. But this spreadsheet...
Predefined, presumably where to find it, not what it actually is.
Yes, exactly like that. So right now the tool is trying, will create those three required files by the mapper later. Let's click it. The tool reported that the files were created successfully. So we can right now close our small tool and go and open the mapper. What we need here, what was prepared also by the tool before, we need the Excel file, which is the basis of the final instance document. So we'll choose the one that was prepared by the tool. I can show you here that in the instances folder, there is already this folder that was created by the tool. There is already this Excel file. Also, there is a pre-prepared, predefined template instance, so-called, with the context definition defined. And also the mapping file, which is required to process the mapping file, the mappings later. What we can do right now, we can open those three. As you see, the tool is processing the taxonomy at the moment, and also the spreadsheet on the left side, the taxonomy on the right side. We'll go to the sheet which was mapped, so the Redco sheet. You can see that the cells are really mapped over here. What we now need to do, we just need to go and apply the mapping. So we apply the mapping, we choose the same instance document as AIC created. We see that the mapping was completed. And now to really see that the instance was created, an instance editor opens. And we can inspect that the values were already input in the instance document. They are in the columns, they are in the proper context. So we now see that the instance was created. We can save it.
Fabulous. So we now have our third instance document.
Exactly.
Well done. Thank you, Michael. Gentlemen, 40 minutes even. We're going to bring Timo up to show us. I think probably that's all of it much. I can see some eyes glazing over a little bit. That's the technical part. Now we're going to show you the sexy part of XBRL, which is we actually get to see the documents and we get to interact with this data, interactive data, which is really very, very powerful. Timo, you're going to show us a static viewing of the Green Company.
Switch. Now I'll show you what you can actually do with the XBRL instances. The steps before, we created those instances, and now the instances are published on the web, and everybody can do something with those instances. So the first thing I will do is I will present those instances. And there are two kinds of presentation, a static view and a dynamic view. In the static view, there you can only see the information and can't interact with those. So I opened the Internet Explorer. I've installed a plugin there, which enables the Internet Explorer to render the instance. So in this presentation, I'll just drag and drop the instance from Greenco. But that could also be some link which is pointing to the XBRL instance. Now you see that the instances is processed, and here we see all the information we placed in that XBRL instances.
So that, Timo, is a simple plugin to a browser that allows you to drag. Did I see you drag the instance
in
now we can see it?
In this case, I dragged the XBRL instance file into the browser. You can also just click on a link which links the XBRL files. So this is very powerful.
Okay.
So thank you.
Thank you, Timo. So I'm going to invite Michael back. He's going to do a similar thing, but in this case for Red Company. Red Company is the US data source. But you're not going to do a static viewing, Michael, you're going to do a dynamic viewing.
Yes, Timo showed us just a moment before a static viewing. Right now I'm going to show and present a bit different viewing, which is, we call it dynamic viewing. We can then play a little bit with the instance, we can show different parts of that. So let's go and open the instance document. We now need to choose the XBRL. We see there is this instance document that we created. We open it. The taxonomy is being processed because the instance is referred always to the taxonomy. So to show what we can do right now, we can choose different presentation views. Let's say we actually input values for income statement, so we can see only the income statement part. We can actually play a little bit with this instance. We can choose different parts which were prepared. We can see the statement of financial position. It was also with values reported. The second thing we can do, we can choose language. If we had it in the taxonomy, we do not have anything except English right now, so let's also go to the preferred and label roles. So we can choose different label roles that are available in the taxonomy. We can use, for instance, the preferred label, we can use the standard label, or we can use other labels like terse or verbose if provided by the taxonomy.
Michael, you've mentioned a whole lot of labels suddenly. What's that all about?
The label roles actually give users some kind of view over the taxonomy, different types of view, and also help in terms of technical development of taxonomy. For instance, we can have the equity at the beginning of period and at the end of period. It is actually the same concept, and in the taxonomy it will be the same element, just with different label roles. One role will be with period start, and the second role will be with period end. So we can create two label roles for one concept and just present it properly in the presentation link base.
And I can also see a concept in there, property, plant and equipment net, presumably one of those label roles. If I wanted to call it PP&E or something short, I could do that too.
Exactly. You can also create something like a terse role, for instance, terse label, and this label could be something which is understandable or easily applicable to databases for mapping. Instead of using property, plant and equipment, you can use PPE, which is easily understandable.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Holger's going to come back up to the lectern. He's going to show us our third viewing, which is also dynamic. This is for Blue Company. He's going to add a couple of little twists on the top. He's going to show you an interchange of the language. Remember, we created, at least in our Green Company case, we created a label link base that was both in German and in English. We're going to see the power of that. And then, again, Holger, I believe that there is a tool here of yours that you've created that you're going to introduce.
Yeah, so this is also just an application, very easy to implement as a web service. Now this will render the XBL file not as a spreadsheet, but as now as an XBL report. So what I'm also doing right now, so I can also doing some analysis to this instance. For example, I'm doing some analysis with some selecting some ratios I entered.
So that's also this later step as well.
This will also be a step next to this. So, well, I just select the instance I created before. This is the Blue final. And then I just choose equity ratio, capital intensity, return on assets, or something like this. And then I want to just to have the report. Now the rendering for HTML report is just quite faster than creating the spreadsheet. Now you will have here an overview over the components of our XBL file. We have our balance sheet here, our income statement, and as well we have a statistics sheet that will show us the ratio. You mentioned that we have the multilingual option there, so you can just enable and you want to have the German labels for all the positions. Now here we are, so we have here now our balance and the German labels.
And that's presumably reading again off the taxonomy.
Yeah, exactly. It's reading directly from our label link bases. And now I just switch to English back so you will understand the next step. So I will show you now the statistics sheet that will show us the ratios I selected. Now you will see here our ratios, the three I selected. For example, the equity ratio, now we will see that the equity ratio quite hardly drops from 15% to 5%, so this is a change by 66%. And you will have also the information for other ratios, for example, return on assets only 0.3%. That's quite not good, but also an option, you can also export this as a PDF. Normally you don't want want to have it in HTML, so you want to have this as a PDF report, so everything should be fine in the XPL report. Here we go, so just a little cover page for this to see when the XPL report is created and where it comes from. Then we have a content overview, so what is in the XPL report, and we see balance sheet, income statement and statistic sheet, and we can go directly to the income statement, and then we see here what we see on the browser. We have now this as a PDF file, and we can give this PDF file to
and you've generated
person.
That PDF file yourself off the instance?
Yeah, this is application, and you can easily implement this in the web service.
Okay, thank you, Holger. Very, very powerful demonstration. Timo's back up to the lectern. We've got two final things to show you in the last few minutes. Timo is going to take the instance from the green company and the instance from the blue company that you see down the bottom there and do a comparative analysis. So we're going to take data from two points and compare it. Timo.
Okay, what we've done before, we created some ratios from one instance. Now I'll enhance this example to a previous step so that we compare the ratios of two instances and make some simple ratio analysis. Therefore, the ICF developed a tool where we define some ratios that are only example ratios, and those can be much more and also much more complicated ratios. So the first step is what I'll do. I'll upload the two created instances to our server. So therefore I go to our demo GreenCo and select the GreenCo company. I upload the instance. Now I'll upload the BlueCo company. Also go to demo BlueCo. Select the BlueCo new XPL. Again, I upload the instance. Now I'll insert those two instances in the taxonomy. So let's start with the ratio analysis. Here I select the three ratio analyses. Here I have my two companies. In the previous step, we already uploaded some XPL instances, so that's why here's another financial statement. So
what's going on here? Presumably, this tool is interacting with that instance data, but it's also performing calculations on top.
Yes. So what we've done here, we extracted the data of the instances, created the ratios, and those ratios are presented here. So, for example, here we have the ratios for the GreenCo company for the 2005 year and the 2006 year, and now we can compare it among other instances. So here we have the BlueCo company, and there are the two instances which are lying on the server. Now we are also able to view some graphics, which is created among these data. So here we have this graphic where the two instances of BlueCo, those are the BlueCo companies, and that is the GreenCo company.
Despite the colors, presumably.
Yes.
But that's being dynamically generated off the instances that
yes,
we created.
Yes, that's right.
Nice one. Very, very, very powerful. Thank you,
okay.
Timo. Heiko, in the closing minutes, is going to show us a particular analysis that I'm very passionate about. As you remember, we've created a blue company and a red company, and that data was created against different taxonomies. What we're going to show you in this demonstration is that we can still compare that data, and we can compare it using XBRL, not using some other application out in the background. So, Heiko?
Yeah, thank you, Joseph. What I'm doing here right now is comparing between different gap taxonomies. On the one hand, I have the IFSGP taxonomy. In our case, this was the green company. So I will open the instance. No, it was the blue company. Sorry for that. And on the other hand, we have the US Gap Taxonomy, which was the red company. Now I'm trying to compare these two taxonomies. It's very, normally you can't do this, but we created a mechanism which allows us to do this. Therefore, we created a taxonomy on top of these two taxonomies, these two individual taxonomies, which connects the different elements from both taxonomies.
So there's the critical part. We have two taxonomies, US and IFRS, but there's a third taxonomy in all of this.
Yeah.
And that's the convergence taxonomy.
Exactly. Okay. That's it. So with this convergence taxonomy, we connect different elements from one side to the other. So now I will upload the instances. Here we go. And now I'm comparing, it takes quite a while, so here we go. We have here these four positions. It's all about earnings per share. So in this demo, it's just the earnings per share positions. We have here on the IFRS GP side the position basic earnings loss per share, and the equivalent in the US GAAP taxonomy is the basic earnings net income per outstanding share. And this link makes a connection between these two elements, and I want to compare from these two instances, which I uploaded it step ago. I want to compare these positions, and I run the analysis.
So using data mapped against separate taxonomies, with this joint taxonomy in between, we're able to compare the data, assuming that earnings per share for the purposes of US and IFRS GAAP is considered the same. Please note that assumption. Yeah. So which one should I invest in?
So here we go. We have the two taxonomies, the two instances on this position. It's here the basic earnings loss per share from the IFRS GP. And we have here the position, the equivalent position on the US GAAP, which has a different value. And this very simple analyze just says which one of these values is the bigger one, and indicates this through an arrow. Could imagine that this is a very simple demonstration. You can make much more complex analyze between that, just depending what you're up to.
Oh. Thanks, Heiko. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our presentation. I hope you've seen from start to finish how we can work with a taxonomy, come through and create instance documents, and then interact with those instance documents and see the power of this technology. A very, very simple demonstration, but I hope an effective one. I hope that you could take something away from that. We'd like to thank five organisations that have allowed us to use their software today: Fujitsu, Rivet, the ABRA German-based open source software, UB Matrix, and DecisionSoft, and also a final thanks to the ICF XBRL team. All of the gentlemen that have presented today, English is their second or third language. I think they've done very, very well, and if you could join with me and thank them.